The contents of this page have not been reviewed or endorsed by the Chicago Bulls. All opinions expressed by Sam Smith are solely his own and do not reflect the opinions of the Chicago Bulls or their basketball operations staff, parent company, partners, or sponsors. His sources are not known to the Bulls, and he has no special access to information beyond the access and privileges that go along with being an NBA-accredited member of the media.
Well, it's going to be another couple of weeks before we are able to break up the Miami Heat. So Miami's going back to the finals. Welcome to my... Oh, that's right. I'm Sam Smith. You should know that. Not the guy who played for the Miami Floridians back in the ABA. Well, there was that Sam Smith. This is my weekly podcast. And actually, this is my annual finals podcast. First annual. So if you wanted to save this one and sell it at some point, I assume it'll have some sort of value. But Miami got through the Indiana Pacers in Game 7. We were all waiting for this day so we could basically trade everybody on Miami and break up that team and go, yeah, see, you didn't win 7 titles. But anyway, you like them or not, it is impressive to be in the finals basically every year since they got together. Now, you do have to go back and look. Obviously, things change depending on what have circumstances in a series. You know, maybe game 2 doesn't go that way. But maybe in one of the great coaching missteps ever, Frank Vogel, Indiana's coach, decided he needed a guard, Chris Bosh, on the perimeter instead of LeBron James in the post or at the basket. And ended up losing game 1. Obviously, we know in all basketball games, there's 100 plays that could have gone either way. But, you know, he's one of these young, over-controlling coaches who spends a lot of time out thinking themselves instead of really having an offensive system. And that one will kind of stand out. And so who knows? You know, when it came down to it at the end, Miami showed how much better they were than the Pacers. You know, a good team, they're not a great team. And always felt all season long, I probably underestimated them, but more so based on a lack of overall talent in the East, that they're a team that just was going to have too many difficulties scoring, too many scoring droughts. And you saw in that last game, that was a terrible game by that part. And Paul George is no superstar. He's a nice player. He's a very good player. But you can't have a game 7 like that where you have 7 points in a big game for your team. But it's not so much that. You can miss shots or something, but he's not even taking shots. And yes, I know LeBron James guarding him, which I never quite understood the whole series that they were had James. I know the Bulls, the Heat did that against the Bulls too, where they had LeBron on the 2 guard. And I know they do a lot of that, you know, to sort of disrupt pick and rolls. But in this series with Indiana having real no other scorers, to have him on Stevenson instead of George, especially LeBron James, who plays 45 minutes without a sweat, I thought was a big mistake. But obviously they came around to it. Amazingly, they came around to it based on LeBron James's coaching decision. When he, apparently after the game, he said, or after game 6, he decided to relieve Wade, who's clearly, we saw from earlier in the playoffs, and especially in a series with the Bulls, that he didn't have explosion anymore. Wade's never been a great shooter, and actually, you know, not a very good shooter. But his explosion in the lane, his ability to pump fake you and then make that move, has always been his game, and he can't do that anymore. He can't, you don't go for the pump fake because he can't beat you off the dribble. And so, you know, have him dragging around like that with LeBron James resting on Stevenson didn't make sense. Anyway, so LeBron said after the game in the post-game interviews where even Spoelstra admitted that LeBron stepped up. And I know they sort of set it up to point out what a great player LeBron James is. He steps up and he wants to take the defensive challenge, but hello, You know, why wasn't the coach doing that before, especially at the same position with George defending LeBron, because then you're creating a cross match anyway. So, and there was a lot of curious coaching decisions in these series, as there always were. Oh, as I was saying about George, a nice player, but not, you know, more athletic than Luol Deng, but not really a better player particularly. Not a guy who really has an offensive game, a go-to move. He made a big shot, you know, in that game Indiana won after Miami pulled within four, made a huge three, but really doesn't have a defined offensive game. And and that's why you could end up with a game seven like that, where he had no really go-to move to go to at the end. And so that was the issue with Indiana all along. And Miami just wasn't healthy enough, or in the case of Chris Bosh, they were too scared to really challenge Indiana, and they got caught up in that slower game where Indiana runs the clock down, shoots in the last 5 seconds, gets you in that slower pace, and plays to that strength, which has been the team they have been. Actually play similarly to the Bulls without Derrick Rose. So I think, you know, next season they'll certainly be up there. You get Danny Granger back, which would be interesting to see, you know, because Danny can score. Now he'll stand out and shoot threes most of the time. It's obviously an upgrade to have Granger and George on the wings instead of Stevenson. But, you know, but Stevenson is more athletic, and Granger's not a particularly involved defender or interested. But their Indiana's bench was really poor. They had nobody to bring off. Basically played seven guys. Eight, maybe. Mahimi played occasionally. That was a desperation. They threw Gerald Green in there early in this series, but didn't do a very good job utilizing what bench they had, and Hansborough was almost useless. So they've got some upgrading to do, too. But that said, you could see where I think really as interesting a story as the series was, and it was a good series, even though Miami, just a bit healthier, would have won it in five. You know, the future of the Heat was the issue, and everybody was sort of waiting to see that would occur. Miami lose, oh, it's LeBron's legacy, all that stuff. But then, you know, what happens to the Heat? And obviously, you know, the rebounding has been the issue for Miami. I know with the Bulls all the time, the view is out-rebound them by 10, you're going to beat them, which basically Indiana was doing. Until the last game, of all things, they got crushed on the boards. They got crushed in second-hand points. So it was really a terrible game seven to come out like that and get pushed around and beaten up in a game seven like that. You just got to really compete better. But expose that Indiana team a little bit. You know, I know when you're in the Final Four and you're playing big games, we saw this with Bulls guys when the Bulls won championships. You know, Scott Williams would make a shot here and there, or Luke Longley would make a few plays, and all of a sudden they were getting big, huge contracts. But, you know, that's not what you're going to do over a whole season. That's why Indiana, you know, was where they were. You know, they're a flawed team in their own right. But, you know, you could see Pat Riley. I mean, you couldn't see him, actually. It's not around as much these days, more reclusive. But, you know, he the notion is, well, LeBron James is going to go back to Cleveland. He's going to go to Lakers. He's got to opt out after next season. You know, it's possible. It's possible he got opt out. But, you know, Pat Riley is not one to lose a great player too often. And, you know, I think he's going to take a hard look at moving Bosh. One of the things I wrote about in my Monday NBA column this past Monday, perhaps dealing with Houston. If Houston can steal away Dwight Howard, you can see them motivated to move Ashik, and then Miami and you know, trading for a guy like Bosh. That would be a heck of a lineup out there with Howard, Bosh, and James Harden, with Parsons and some of the other guys they've got. And if Miami gets Ashik, they can figure out maybe Ashik and Lynn for Bosh would be a heck of a move for them. Now Wade doesn't have to perform at that high level. You get a defensive big man in there. And so obviously, but more so, you make it palatable for James to stay. You know, my sense is he would rather stay there. Doesn't want to be a carpetbagger, mercenary kind of, again, bring down all that negative stuff. He's gotten rid of a lot of that negative stuff from the move to Cleveland, has dissipated, you know. And look, South Florida is the place to be in this country in the winter. And, you know, with a good team, with a Pat Riley organization, really that would be the place to stay. So, you know, you could see Riley, you know, this summer ought to be interesting because they clearly have to get rebounding, have to get some size. And maybe just one interior move like that with Bosch, who really has accepted being just a perimeter shooter. I mean, he got a little more aggressive, went for the boards. I think he set a career high with 8 rebounds or something. So that's still going to be interesting. So that said, we're heading into the NBA Finals, Heat and Spurs. And, of course, the Spurs are a great story for everybody. Finally, interesting, you know, sort of like a lot of people get their due at their funerals, unfortunately, where everybody says nice stuff about them, and we don't think they can hear that. That said, you know, the Spurs sort of on their last legs, Tim Duncan having sort of a renaissance at 37. Not that he fell that far off, but he clearly seemed to be slowing the last year or two. He's come back, had a great season. I think he had a career high in blocks this season. Ginobili, who's had on and off injuries, you know, has kind of come back. You know, then they added some nice pieces, and all of a sudden back in the finals for the first time since they won in 07, and a chance to have a fifth title. And Duncan's got 4 titles with the Spurs. If they win this one, it would be one of the few. He would be actually, I think, the only one, which Jordan, ever to have played in at least 5 championships and won all 5. That said, I don't think they'll get it. I personally, I would love to see them get it. I think most everybody will be rooting for the Spurs for sentimental reasons. Not so much for hate for Miami. I'm sure there's elements of that around. But really, it's more justified when teams are successful on a run. Now, the Bulls were unique in the 90s because of Jordan was such an appealing figure. But, you know, I think people generally rooted against the Dallas Cowboys when they were successful. What was it, like 40 years ago, I think. The Yankees, always root against the Yankees. You know, teams that are successful and have a long run, you know, seem a little bit arrogant about it because they are successful, like pretty much most people are when they're successful. And so, you know, and everybody roots for upsets. It's natural. And so, you know, anybody beating the Heat would be the upset. They were favored to win the title when the season started. They were favored to win the title when the playoffs began. They're back in the finals. You know, and obviously that little, I'm not sure why people reacted so strongly to it, that little display they had where they made that announcement when it came to Miami and LeBron said, 3 titles, 4 titles, 5 titles, whatever that was. It's just one, who cares? So, but anyway, some people hold that against them, and then, you know, they're kind of on the way to doing it. So I suppose it upsets some. But, you know, it should be competitive series because of what Miami is and because of what we saw against the Pacers. You know, obviously you could see it coming against the Bulls when the Bulls came in there on short rest after that Game 7 win in Brooklyn. They won that first game, and even though Miami won in 5, you could see them fighting uphill against that, obviously with Wade not able to perform at a high level. And even with Ding out, with Heinrich out, that whole series, playing Nate Robinson, still, you know, except for, I think it was 2 games, really fighting down the stretch to win those games. And then getting in a tough series against Indiana, as I talked about. You know, clearly, you know, Wade is having, you know, knee problems. He's finally started to allude to it. He even said after the win over the Pacers that he'll have ups and downs in the finals, which, you know, is sort of a little awkward, I guess. But, you know, they started to acknowledge it. Spoelstra, you know, made a backhanded remark about, we all know what problems Dwayne's going through. Well, we really don't, because they never talk about anything about it. But it's easy enough to figure out that lacking that explosion that he is. And he did in Game 7. He made some shots. You know, he forced himself more to defense and pushed himself and played a good game. But still, there was no explosion. There was none of the, you know, great Wade moves of previous years. And he has been a great player, truly great player, one of the greats of all time. You know, taking teams to a final at that team with Shaq, when Shaq was just a shadow of himself. But, you know, you have as many knee surgeries as he's had. as many injuries as he had, obviously probably facing another knee surgery. He's just not going to be the same player again. You know, we saw it with Penny Hardaway. We saw it with Tracy McGrady. You know, these great athletes, when they, you know, when you pile on multiple knee surgeries, you just don't come back from those things enough. And, you know, it's unlikely he's going to probably ever going to come back to anywhere near the level he was or be in that series. But I think it's this series is kind of a little bit of a respite in a sense for the Heat. Not that's going to be easy. San Antonio, as we know, is smart. They're well-rounded. They play right. But they're also kind of sloppy with the ball, especially Manu. Manu makes some of the – we all love Manu playing. He's one of my favorite NBA players. He's one of the terrific people in the NBA, one of the absolutely best people, entertaining player, really an awkward talent. I love watching him. But makes some of the most amazing, crazy passes. And, you know, while Parker is great and is going to just blow down court, also tend to lose the ball. And so that's the, obviously, as you always hear, that's the one thing you can't do against Miami. You can't turn the ball over that much. You can't lose the ball. You know, Indiana is a tough thing for them because they played slow. They had no point guard. So while they were criticized for that, they say, well, they really didn't have a point guard to set up their offense. It sort of helped in a sense because they weren't running anything. And so they're just kind of setting up, trying to throw the ball inside, even though they didn't really classic post up. They got Hibbert into the paint on pick and rolls, but they ran a very deliberate offense. And, you know, the Spurs will run really a fluid offense, which will play, I think, more toward Miami's ability to open the court, spread it out, run. And, you know, once they get into that situation, also Splitter and Duncan are not physical players like Hibbert, especially West. I think West, just looking at the Bosch, scared him a lot. So I think Bosch will have a much better series. He's a Western Conference type player. And when he's in Houston next season, I think he'll have a nice revival. But while Spurs have size, some size at the rim, not, you know, and Duncan has had a decent season, you know, like I said, his best season shot blocking, they're not a physical kind of team that Indiana is, that Chicago is, the kinds of team that gives Miami trouble. Miami doesn't like playing those kind of teams. This will be more open. And the Spurs have not particularly had the toughest road. They had the Lakers were beaten up, half the guys playing, Kobe out. Then they had a really, you know, small Warriors team that is sort of a mini version of what Miami does. And Warriors got a couple of games, made it tough. And then, you know, I had a laugh about the Memphis series. A lot of people, you know, were playing up Memphis. And, you know, Popovich is a great coach and a terrific guy. And his interviews after the quarters are some of the best thing in sports. But it was so obvious play Memphis, how to play Memphis. And then he probably lost his job in part because it couldn't. They traded away all their perimeter shooting. They got rid of Rudy Gay. They let O.J. Mayo go in the offseason. Ellington was their other off-the-bench shooter. They, you know, in their cash and their money purse, they got rid of everybody. And so, you know, you just got to sit on, at that point, you know, sit on the paint, drop down, you know, front Zach, you know, get down on Gasol and let him beat you with outside shots. And they can't do that. And until they got to the conference finals, nobody did it. So Popovich obviously did that, and they didn't win a game. You know, not to take anything away from they won, but they haven't been exactly tested yet. So matchups, you know, Parker is terrific, you know, but by speeding up the game, I think that plays to Miami as well, you know, because they want to get in a faster game. And you saw against Indiana, well, they finally, I don't understand, I didn't understand that another thing too, but, you know, Spoelstra's a bit controlling as well. All these coaches calling too many plays, slowing the game down. You got LeBron James. You got to run. You got to push the ball. This guy he's the most unstoppable player on the break in the history of the NBA, and they're walking it up out of the backcourt all the time. It's just, Jesus, what's going on? Anyway, so, you know, San Antonio speeding the ball, pushing the ball up as they do now, you know, playing more out of pick and roll than post-ups. They can play post-ups. You know, Manu with the ball, flinging it around all over the place. So, you know, I think that plays to Miami's interest to speed it up. You know, they spread the court, you know, get some shooting, you know, with Bonner. You know, they run a great offense. It's terrific to see him. You know, there'll be much talk about Kawhi Leonard on James, but, you know, that's really unfair. You know, Kawhi Leonard's a relatively young player. just developing into a all around player. But you know, playing LeBron James is another thing, and he's a little bigger, longer to play him. You know, they'll start, they'll start Danny Green, bring Manu off the bench. They've got some depth, but I think this will free up Miami's shooting. We might actually see, Shane Battier, although he mostly practices his flopping, he might get in there for some shots in this case. And really, he was cheap shotting. David West, those guys were right. He takes shots at your knees. He's a dirty player. Really, he's a player whose career is past and probably would have rather seen his retirement than Grant Hill's, as Duke guys go, at least the effective Duke guys. But that said, the way the Spurs play, it should open it up more for some of the shooting. You know, Mike Miller came on, made some shots. Ray Allen, especially in that game. I think Ray Allen has a chance to have a big series. And also the 2-3-2, you know, even though the Bulls won some series that way, it's tough when you're the visiting team to go back. You know, not many of these series are going to end in five. And it's tough to go back to the home team and win two. I thought, you know, it's the typical one I thought was when the Knicks got up 3-2 on a bad Houston team. Probably the worst championship team ever, with a Kenny Smith, Vernon Maxwell backcourt actually won a title. But they went back to Houston, and Houston wins two games. The Kings wins two games. So that's pretty tough. So I think Miami probably win it in six. And then we'll have to listen to talks about, is this the greatest team ever? No, it's not. But it, at least it might give me a podcast for later in the month. Anyway, so come back, check back with me next week and see where we are. This is somewhere, iTunes or something like that. And Bulls.com, of course. And I'm still Sam Smith.